Not open your Bibles two places, Acts chapter number 13 and 1 Samuel chapter 16. Acts chapter 13, 1 Samuel 16. If you got your finger in Acts 13, keep it there just a second, and turn back if you would in 1 Samuel. Look if you would in chapter 15 a minute. I want to look a couple verses in verse 22 and 23. And it's talking about Saul here, when God removed Saul from being king. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Now, if you read this, you understand that he was supposed to go in and fight the Amalekites, and he was supposed to destroy them. He was supposed to leave nothing. And Saul brought a bunch of stuff out, and he thought he could take some of the animals and sacrifice to God, and it would be okay. But God sent Samuel to tell him, "Because you've done that, it's better to obey than to sacrifice." In other words, your sacrifices don't mean nothing if you're not obeying what I told you to do. Verse 23, he says, "For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and adultery. Because I have rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Then if you look on down in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 12 and 13, it says, "And he sent and he brought him in, and he was a ruddy boy, a ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah." Now keep your finger there and turn, if you would, over to Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, verse number 21, the Bible says, "And afterward they desired a king," talking about Israel, "and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. And of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus." Now, notice that little phrase there, "a man after my own heart." Turn back, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 16. And I want to look at a couple things, if you don't mind. You know the story, how that Samuel was sent to the house of Jesse to anoint a king. And David had several brothers, and they come and they lined them up, and God never spoke and told Samuel any of those was going to be the right one. And yet, he said, "Do you have any other?" And he says, "Well, I've got a little young boy over here keeping the sheep." And so he sent and got David. And when David came, we read those verses. And notice that God did not choose a king. Now, the people chose Saul because he was a big, tall guy. He was head and shoulders above everybody else, and they thought, boy, that will be a king. But when they chose a king, they wanted a king so they could be like everybody else. And Samuel was all distraught because it was the end of the judge era. And so Samuel took it personal, and God told Samuel, he said, "Now, they've not rejected you, they've rejected me." And so they wanted Saul, so he gave him Saul. And Saul was not good for the country, and so he removed him. And when he removed him, he put someone in his place. Now, to look at David, you would not have thought that David would be the right type of king. But there was qualities about David that nobody knew. It wasn't his birthright, it wasn't his age, and it wasn't his size that drew God to David. It was his heart. David had spent a lot of time with God. He proved that his heart, that he was several things. Now, the Bible says a lot about your heart. Your heart pretty much just tells who you are. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's your heart that brings salvation. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. The heart is your inner being, your inner soul. It's your inner affections. And what happens is, so many people make a profession of the head, but they never make a profession of the heart. When you make a profession of a heart, it changes people. But the Bible says something strange about David that he said about nobody else. He said, David's got a heart like mine. He's a man after my own heart. Now, what does that mean? Now, I preached one time about the thought of love and the love that David had and the grace and charity that he had. But it even goes deeper than that. The Bible says that David's spirit, that David had a spirit that loved God. Our spirit is our God-conscious part. What people don't realize is this. You have a body that relates to the outside world. You see, you hear, you touch, you feel, all those senses. You're attracted by things that you see. That's why the Bible says the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. All those things are things that you're attracted because of your body, your flesh. Your soul is your inner conscious. It kind of is where your warfares go out. That's where your conscience deals with your soul about things that you should do and shouldn't do and all those things. And it kind of speaks to yourself. But your spirit is your God conscious. Your spirit is dead until you're saved. If you've never truly been saved, your spirit's never been made alive. Until your spirit's alive, you can't commune and worship with God. It's through your spirit that you worship with God. It's through your spirit that His Spirit speaks to you. That's why Paul wrote in Romans that His Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God. Until you have your spirit alive, you have no worship. They that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The trouble that we have, David, when he worshiped God, and you read the Psalms, he had a spirit that was lifted up to God. He was very God conscious in everything he did. But what we have today is we turn worship into self-conscious. We like to be moved in our flesh. We like to be moved with our feelings and emotions. That's why in a lot of these places, to drum you up and stir you up, they get these beats. They get all this musical beat, and it stirs the body up, it stirs the flesh up, and they think jumping around and dancing around and hoop hopping, yet they have no respect for the house of God. They have no respect for the things of God. They have no respect for the Word of God. But yet they can hoop and holler and carry on because their flesh is being stirred. That's not worship. And they call them worship centers and worship this and worship that. Worship is when your spirit is God conscious and it's moved by God. It's moved by God. You know what moves it? Truth. When you hear the word of truth, it moves your spirit. And it makes you move. And so some people say, well, the word of God never moves me. That's because your spirit's dead. When your spirit's alive, the truth moves you. Sometimes it convicts you. Sometimes it feeds you. Sometimes it calms you. Sometimes it comforts you. But the word of God is quick and alive and powerful. Now, those of us lost, it cuts us when we're lost. like a sharp two-edged sword. And the Spirit of God draws us when we've been convicted with the Word of God. But David had something unusual. His heart was likened to God's heart. In other words, he had a worship. Now to do that, he had to be two or three things within his heart. The Bible says that he kept the sheep. He was with the sheep. As you read, he was content. He was content where his father put him. You have to be content to have your heart right with God. You can't always be wanting and longing and desiring. You've got to be content in the things you have. Did that door just come open, or is somebody coming in? I believe it just blew open. But anyway, you've got to be content. David was content. He loved the Lord. If you're all the time complaining about what you don't have, what you want, what you're not, you're never going to be able to have that heart that's God conscious, where you worship in the right way. I mean, I'd like to be skinny, but it's just not right now in the cards. It just don't work that way. I get tired of carrying around 300 plus pounds everywhere I go, but I guess if I get tired enough, I can try to do something about it. But the point of the matter is this: there's a lot of things we may want. But what's wrong if it controls our life? It takes us away from being content. David was content being with the sheep. Not only that, but we also find his spirit was very controlled in things he did. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him when he was anointed. You know, he controlled himself whenever Saul was going. He didn't lift his hand against God's anointed. Several times when Saul was seeking his life, he could have done something, but he didn't. He was very controlled in what he did. He was very committed to God in what he did. He was committed in the Lord, and he was very confident in the Lord and the Lord's ability. We read about his integrity this morning. He was a courageous guy. I told him this morning, being a shepherd, sometimes you think of a shepherd as some little weakling's job. It was not a weakling's job during that time. I mean, just as a young boy, he had to kill a lion, he had to kill a bear. I mean, the guy had some courageous acts to him. As a matter of fact, the Bible says when he killed the lion, he grabbed him by the beard. Takes a pretty courageous guy to grab a lion by the beard. And I mean, there were some things about him that made David. David loved the Lord. You say, well, David failed God. David had a couple great failings in his life. But he was still, the Bible says, you know, I told the Sunday school class this morning, I believe it's 1130 some odd times David's mentioned in the Bible by God. Imagine having your name brought up that many times. Imagine what God thought of David. And you know the wonderful thing in the New Testament? In the Old Testament, David failed. Bathsheba was a great failing of David with God. The counting in Israel and depending upon the strength and numbers was a great failure of God. David had several great failings. But when you get the New Testament, God never brings a one of them up. David asked for forgiveness, he forgave him. He paid a great price. His children broke his heart. Several of his children went to hell. I have no doubt. Some of his children turned rebellion against him. A lot of things happened in David's life because of his actions, and it tore him up, it broke his heart. But God forgave him. And God still said in the New Testament that David was a man after my own heart. It's because of David's love for God and the way he worshiped, the way he reverent God. You can't read the Psalms without realizing how much God loved. The Bible says that he was a cunning player of the harp. He practiced. He was committed to learn how to play that harp. He played that harp and he sung. And can I say this? Now listen to me. We need to get some of this back in our church. The singing. Singing is a great part of the worship. And we need to sing. Somebody said, well, I don't sing that well. You'd be surprised how many times people's got up and sung a song. And it's not that you hit every note right. It's not that you carried the right tune. But God used that message to speak to your heart or the heart of somebody else. Songs have a great place. David wrote these psalms because he had such a heart for God. And the Bible says that David said one time, he put a new song in my heart. And everybody could see it. He feared the Lord. He reverenced the Lord. And as I said, he worshiped the Lord. Let's go to a couple psalms real quickly. And let me show you some ways in which he worshiped the Lord. Look if you would in Psalms 23. Just stay in the book of Psalms. We're going to be there the rest of the service. In Psalm 63. The reason why he had a heart like unto God. David said in one psalm that his heart panteth for God. Look if you would in Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. In other words, in his personal devotion, he worshiped God. He had a great desire in his heart for things of God because his spirit was alive. He had a heart like God. What God wanted, David wanted. And therefore, David, he longed to see God in his glory. He longed to see God praised and he longed to see God lift up. That's why over and over and over in his Psalms, he said, praise ye the Lord. Praise him, raise him, worship him, worship him. Because he had such a heart in his personal devotion and he had a desire to worship God. Let me ask you this. Does your heart desire to worship God? Does your heart have a desire to do something for the Lord? Do you have a song you want to sing? Do you have a word of testimony you want to give? Do you have a heart in your personal devotion of your life for the Lord? Not only that, look if you would in Psalms 42. I mentioned this a minute ago, but I wanted to read again. He says in verse number 1 and 2, Psalms 42, he says, as a hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Look in verse 3. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone to the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise and with a multitude that kept holy day. In other words, he said, listen, even in my private life, I worship God. And not only that, he also said, when I'm disappointed, look on, read verse 5. He says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted to me? Hope thou in God. He says, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He said, even when I'm down, even when I'm disappointed, I still want to praise God. I still want to worship God. You know, I was thinking about several, going through different things. Others have gone through them. Some just come out of some things. Some's going through things. Some's fixing to go in things. David, his heart was likened to God because even when he was disappointed in his private life, he still had a desire to worship God. I've seen some people at the very sight of something going wrong in their life, they quit. They walk away. They're nowhere to be found. Where's your heart? What does that speak for your heart? What does it speak for your heart when you're going through trials and yet you go, and you know, Jesus one time, he said something hard to several of his disciples, to several people that was following him. And the Bible said they all left because it was a hard saying. And he looked at his disciples and he said, "Will you go also?" Peter said, "Where can we go?" Can I ask you this? In times of disappointment, in times of trials, in times of troubles, where can you go any better than the Lord? Who's going to help you? When things get beyond your ability, and every one of us has things come in our life that we'd like to handle, we'd like to take charge, and we'd like to say, this is the way it's going to happen, but we just don't have any control over it. We have to trust in the Lord. And you know why David was able to worship God and have a heart? Because he completely trusted in the Lord. When he was being chased, when he's being hated, all those things, all he cried out to God. He had tears before God, but he trusted in God. And every time his soul would get down, he said, "Now listen, soul, you got to get up. You got to praise the Lord. He's good." And he'd tell himself, he said, "Now listen, don't let my old soul get down. I want my heart to just pant after the Lord. In other words, I desire the things of God. I'm not going to let any of these things get me down." Somebody said, "Well, what did he face?" He faced all kinds of issues. He faced children issues, some of the worst kind. He had enemies everywhere he turned. He had enemies in his own house with his own wives. Not only that, but he also had enemies in his own home with his own children. His own children, some of them wanted to kill him. Not only that, he got a disease. Most people believe that he died, probably, of a venereal disease that he caught. Whatever it was there in Psalms that he talks about it, it was something that corrupted his body, that eat up his body. And he died a young man in those days. Somebody said, "Well, I didn't understand. He went through all those things. He went through all kinds of trials. He went through all kinds of conflicts and tribulations. But he had a heart like God's. And he continually worshiped God in the midst." Not only that, but even if you look in Psalms 27. In Psalms 27, the Bible says in verse number 1. He says, "The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up on rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." He said, even when all this is happening publicly, I want people to know that I still love the Lord. I still worship him. I still have confidence in him. Not only that, but in Psalms 122, you don't have to turn there. Most of you know it. Verse 1, David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." You see, he was dedicated to the house of God. When you have a heart for God, you want to be around his house. You want to be around his people. When you have a heart for God, you want to be around the things of God. And therefore, let it speak to you. How many of you have missed a service or two because of sickness or something else, and boy, you just crave to get back and be able to hear something again, to feel something again? I go sometimes, we go and visit somebody in a nursing home or a house that's bedridden. I know sometimes Dad got to the point where he couldn't stand not being able to come to church. He'd watch, he found this guy over in, and I thank God for it, over in, where is it? Yeah, Middlesboro. And he watched him. And good preacher. I listened to him. Good preacher. And boy, he fed him so much. And he'd send him CDs and tapes and so forth. And Brother Greg's mom sent me a note telling me that his dad listened to every sermon that that we put on the church thing, and said he had enjoyed them so much. And I told her, I said, well, I appreciate Brother Greg doing that. And he deserves the congratulations for doing that. And I appreciate him taking time to do that. A while back, I had somebody call me and tell me that their daughter-in-law had listened to that message, Book of Life, and she was saved because of it. And you never know. But my point is this, that when you have a heart after God, you ought to have a heart for His house. You ought to have a heart to want to be in His house and respect His house. You want to honor the things and think about God. Last but not least, turn one more place with me. I'm going to close right here. Psalms 23. Boy, this shows the heart of David. The Bible says in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David's heart was like God, because even David, when he went through he faced the possibility of death, he said, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know, it's wonderful when our heart gets where we can worship God. We can feel His presence, and we long for His presence. The thing so unique about David, was David a perfect man? No. But David was a man who his heart longed for the same things that God wants us to long for. He loved to see God get glory. He loved to praise the Lord. He loved to worship the Lord. He loved to come into the house in presence of God. And because he did that, he feared nothing. He didn't fear his enemies. He didn't fear what tomorrow would bring. He didn't fear what even death could bring. He was confident. And when you read the chapter where he tells Solomon, and he leaves it Solomon, you can tell he's facing death with bravery, with confidence, and with the right spirit. And so when you get over in the book of Acts, God said, listen, I rejected Saul. I raised me up a son from Jesse. He had a heart like unto my own. And so therefore, David got the honor of being named as God, as a man whose heart was like unto God. Because he, with a heart, he was so God conscious in everything in his life. In his private life, personal devotions, personal life, public life. In times of depression, in times of sickness, in times of great challenges, all those things, and even in time of death, he was God conscious in all those things. And he was conscious of the strength and ability and power of the Lord. And so therefore, he always had something to lift up to the Lord in the midst of all those things. Amen. Let's stand this morning.